Our scripture this morning is from the opening of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, speak. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, open our hands, and open our lives. Lord, may whatever is of me be quickly forgotten, but may your voice long echo forth. Lord, send your Spirit and speak. Amen. So we are at the beginning of a new year. I know this is the second Sunday of 2021, but it's the first one where we are where I am preaching and we are worshiping as Calvin Church last week and the week before the last Sunday of 2020 and the first Sunday of 2021. We were worshiping with our entire presbytery. We are very much still here at the beginning of a new year, and we are here at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. And let me tell you what I love about Mark. Mark doesn't have time for anything except getting right to the point. John's Gospel, beautiful, poetic. And Matthew and Luke, they love to get into the teachings of Jesus and explain how what he said and did fulfilled what had been said by the prophets before. Matthew and Luke, they take their time and like a good teacher. And John paints a beautiful picture, beautiful portrait, using themes of light and dark, blind and sight. Mark is much more like an action movie. Mark just throws you right into the deep end, and just when you think you've got your bearing, he's pulling you somewhere else. Mark is restless and agitated to not pull any punches, but to throw you right to the deep end, whether you're ready or not. Mark's favorite word throughout the gospel is this Greek word, euthus. Euthus. It means immediately. At once. Right away. 40 times Mark uses this little word in just 15 chapters. Mark is constantly saying, and immediately Jesus did this, and then immediately he went there and did this over here, and then immediately went over there and did that. Mark uses this word so many times, most English translators actually ignore a good portion of it because it just feels so repetitive and it almost feels overwhelming and too much. And Mark begins just as suddenly, throwing us right into the thick of it. No preface, no prelude. No baby Jesus to help us grow into anything. Just bam! The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a crazy, wild-eyed prophet shows up, dressed in animal skins, eating bugs and honey, and you know he had bits of both constantly stuck in his beard. He's out there in the wilderness telling people to repent and then dunking them in the Jordan River. But Mark doesn't give us time to figure any of that out, because then just as suddenly, boom, there's Jesus showing up out of nowhere, and he gets dunked into the river. Why? Don't know. And Mark doesn't seem to care, because he's already moving on to when Jesus comes up out of the water. It's not what happens when he goes in. It's the fact that when he comes out, bam, the heavens are torn apart, and the Spirit comes flying down like a dove, dive-bombing him. There's a booming voice claiming Jesus. But again, there's no time to sort all that out, because now that Spirit, that same Spirit, drives. This is no gentle nudging or that calm voice on your GPS giving you directions. This word drives here is the same word that will be used later when Jesus is driving or casting out demons. Immediately, this Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness, where he's tempted by Satan with the wild beasts watching and the angels ministering to him. This is the big bang of the good news. Much like in Genesis, where suddenly, out of nowhere, God is on the move, pushes onto the chaotic waters and speaks into the void and formlessness. And suddenly, there is light and life. Suddenly, immediately even, out of nowhere, and right there in the wilderness, things have happened. And things are happening. And feeling settled or not, having gotten your bearings or your feet under you or not, there is no going back. Today is, in the church calendar, in the liturgical calendar, today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. It's the first Sunday after Epiphany, and after the end of the Christmas season. This event that marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, that marks the beginning of him going out, preaching, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus shows up where John, the one sent to prepare the way, is baptizing. Jesus himself is baptized, and that's when it happens. Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens are torn apart. And this is where we're going to hang out for a bit. Mark's not going to wait for us. He's going to go on ahead, but we're going to linger here for a bit. The Greek language that Mark wrote in has a perfectly good word that means to open up. The heavens might be opened up. And it's the word anoigo. You got that? Derek asked me if we were going to learn some Greek this morning.
Right?
It's the word anoigo. Right? Maybe it's good there. I don't know if Derek did this, but then some of you may have done it. Maybe made a New Year's resolution to learn a new language or something. We do that sort of stuff in the New Year. So good news, we've already learned the Greek word for immediately, euthos. And we're going to learn a couple more words this morning. So you're off to a great start this year. Anyway, anoigo is a great, nice, well-behaved word. It means to open. It's open like you might open a door or a window to let in a nice summer breeze. But that's not the word for open up that Mark uses here when he talks about the heavens opening up. No, the word he uses is schizo. This is where we get the word schism. So anoigo is opening a window by lifting up the sash and letting the breeze in. Schizo is opening a window by throwing a bowling ball right through it. This is ripping something apart. It's tearing into something. This is an unruly, wild, untamed, definitely not covering its tracks and never going back sort of word. Anoigo is when my grandmother would carefully peel up the tape on Christmas presents and gently fold the wrappings back so she could use them again. Schizo is your 7-year-old all hopped up on a month worth of candy canes and pent-up excitement on Christmas morning, ripping open every single present in sight. Anoigo is opening up that package with the thought that you might want to return it. So be careful with the packaging. Schizo is this is mine, and there ain't no way I'm going to be able to return it even if I wanted to. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, and immediately, euthus, as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens schizoed. The Spirit, like a bowling ball through a window, tearing through right down on top of him, the Beloved. Beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and there's no going back. There's no refunds or returns on it, even if you wanted to. Everything has changed. There's no going back. I spent a fair amount of time around Christmas, perhaps you did too, reflecting. Christmas is one of those times of year that naturally makes you nostalgic, doesn't it? This year especially, right? Man, why couldn't it be back the way it was last year? Before all of this. This week didn't help, did it? There's nothing wrong with being anchored in what's come before. And the right things that have come before, they invite us into fellowship with those who have come before us. They allow us to be taught and even formed by the godly wisdom of God's people throughout the years. The faith that we are called into is one that is grounded in what God has done in history. And we would do well to listen to our ancestors in the faith. Not uncritically, but certainly with an openness and willingness to hear. But at the same time, a wind from God swept over the face of the deep, pushing on the chaotic waters, and light has been spoken into the darkness. A voice has cried out in the wilderness, heavens have been torn open. I find myself, perhaps again like you do too, longing for a return to the way things were, to normalcy. But what if the way things were is not the way God is calling things to be? What if a return to normal is not where we should be aiming? From the beginning, God has shown himself to be the one whose Spirit presses in on the churning, troubled waters. The one whose words cut through the darkness with light. The one whose voice calls out from the wilderness, who might just drive his faithful back into the wilderness to do something even bigger and grander than before. As we begin this new year, and we're coming up on 1 year of a pandemic and all its quarantines and stay-at-home orders and all the fallout from it, nothing all year has been like it was. And we've had seasons of troubled and churning social unrest. But the summer cries for justice have, in many cases, been allowed to fade back to the margins And vaccines are slowly being rolled out, and we see perhaps an end in sight to this past year and a path back to the way it was. Oh, and also this week happened. It was not an aberration. In many ways, it was a logical conclusion of a whole confluence of things. There will no doubt be examinations of any number of factors in the coming weeks and months. And there is more than enough responsibility and even blame to go around. And was everybody at that rally intent on violence and insurrection? No. But listen, we need to be clear. When leaders, and yes, when the president himself is feeding and trading in lies and conspiracy theories, let alone everything else. Now, this is not about partisanship or political parties. This is just the reality of what is going on. When leaders, our president and elected officials, portion of those in places of public trust and authority feed into and feed off of all these lies, like all these that we've seen about a stolen election and all that QAnon mess, which also didn't come out of nowhere. It's been building. Feeding into and feeding off of these lies because they are a convenient way to grasp at power. And it's bad enough when the world of nations and empires do it, but when the church and Christian leaders decide, those are also convenient ways to score points in a culture war. And so the church, and specifically the white evangelical church in the U.S., becomes one of the most fertile breeding grounds for these types of lies. We will parse and quibble and nuance and qualify all manner of theology and scripture verse, but then we'll turn around. We all do it. We'll turn around and hit forward or like or share on every email, tweet, or Facebook post before we can even blink. But that is a part of what we've become. The chance of something like Wednesday gets a little bigger. When we find that Christian symbols and crosses and even the name of Jesus have been allowed to be quite comfortable right alongside Confederate flags and nooses and other symbols of white supremacy and of nationalism, when the church is not honest about its past and the messy mix of both, yes, its promise, but also its sin, its resistance to racism and its complicity in it, with its speaking truth to power and its subverting of truth for power. And we find that we have become inclined to trade flesh and blood history with an idealized mythology of our past. The chance of something like Wednesday gets a little bigger. And if that hasn't given us pause, here's the thing that really should. I know this is suddenly not a happy sermon. It was not a happy week. Here's what should give us pause. It gives me pause. I watched in shock and disbelief on Wednesday. Then I realized and saw that I have sisters and brothers in Christ who were not shocked. When we, white Christians, discount and don't hear the warnings and the laments of our sisters and brothers of color, the chance of something like Wednesday gets bigger. There are so many other things too about this past week to that we could spend time on about what it's revealed. If we have but eyes to see, and I know there are some of y'all right now saying, yes, but There's parts of me that want to say that a whole lot too. And those are all things that the church should not shy away from engaging in, but should be the place where we do the hard work of wrestling, groaning, and grappling with it together. So I know all of that's there. And what I've said, I have no doubt, is incomplete. But here's where I want us to end up this morning. Or, excuse me, this evening. All of this is part of my biggest fear for us, for the church. Both the big capital C church, and therefore our particular little c church, is that even as we are hopefully turning the corner at some point this year in this pandemic, and as hopefully other planned attacks, things like what ended up happening Wednesday, will get interrupted and thwarted, my biggest worry is that we will then be content to go back to normal. That our main goal will be just for things to once again be the way they were. Let me be clear. There are many things, even as we just think about church, what church was like a year ago, from the way things were, there are many things to be held on to and carried with us. And there are other things that were good and right and meant for a season, but that season perhaps is past, and so we can honor and celebrate them even as we say what God, even as we ask and see what God does have for us now. But there are also still others that are why we have gotten ourselves where we are, and they call for the hard and difficult but good work of reflection and discernment and repentance. And my biggest hope for this year is that all of these things, we will begin to sort them out and discern and do them together, relying on the Spirit that tears through and tears open. Throughout history, God has used exile and wilderness wanderings, has used consequences of playing politics like all the other empires, has used famines and unrest breakthrough, both to at times call to repentance and other times to again just renew and revive and re-energize, to again blow across the chaos, to speak light into the darkness and tear open the hearts and lives of his people with the good news of light and life and all the things of his kingdom. And not just for them, but for the sake of the world. And so if we are not here at the beginning of this new year asking ourselves, if we are not watching and looking for and asking God to open our eyes to all the ways in and through this that God is inviting and uncovering, revealing and asking, and most likely driving us somewhere that's not simply just back there. All the heartbreak and tragedy of this past year and this past week and these times in which we live, it will be so much more tragic for the church. What might there be for us to learn from this past year? About worship, beyond just sitting together in the same room singing a song together. What might worship look like or need to look like in these times in which we live? How does worship reflect or betray claims about love of neighbor? What have we lost, yes, during this time of distant and online worship and fellowship? Also, what has been gained that we desperately need to hold on to and learn from going forward? Where have we normally spent our time and energy and resources, and what might we be learning about how that should change? What have we learned about where we clamor for power or influence and the idols that, that may very well create in the destruction those idols love to leave in their wake. What have we learned about ourselves and what we are willing and not willing to give up for the well-being of others? What have we learned that we need desperately to hold on to? And what have we learned that we need to let go of? Beyond just saying, this is not who we are, where might we need to actually learn, you know what? This actually is a part of who we are. Maybe a bigger part than we like to admit. What new opportunities and paths to embody and bear witness to the kingdom of God, for which we pray to come each and every week together. What is being torn open for us to be driven into? Where have the heavens been torn open? Where is the Spirit coming recklessly, barreling, and crashing through, daring us to keep up and pushing, pulling, driving us somewhere? Perhaps somewhere wild and untamed, even dangerous and scary. The good news is that apparently that's sometimes where Jesus is also hanging out. The ministry of angels is happening. We dare not waste this past year, because God is it. In another time of trouble and exile, destruction and empire, desert and wilderness, centuries before Jesus stepped into the Jordan, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah with these words: I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. Do we not perceive it? And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven: You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him to the wilderness. The Spirit is wild and pushing. Do we not perceive it? The heavens have been torn apart. There's no closing what has been opened. Family, dare we perceive it? Amen. May it be so.